Hello, I'm Wyatt Clough and Bryce is my big brother. There are hundreds of things I could tell you about growing up with Bryce, but he would probably kill me. What I could tell you is I always had an immense love for this organization. His hard work and dedication has shown my brothers and I and countless other people that anything is possible. And although we often argue over who is the better Clough, today he can have that honor.
The first time I met Bryce, he had buzz cut hair and a Queen Creek FFA jacket that was a few sizes too large. Since then, I've had the privilege of watching him grow into that jacket, into an influence, and into my best friend. This year, he has taught us that we can make home wherever we are by the people that we surround ourselves with. Due to his kind nature, his sense of humor, and his unshakable passion for this organization, he has helped many make a home in the FFA, and those he has met have made a home in his heart.
Over the last year, we've gotten to see Bryce grow and share his passion with FFA members from across the country. No matter where he was or who he was with, he lit up the room with his passion for life, and we couldn't be more prouder of him. I'm honored and excited to introduce to you one of my best friends and your Western Region Vice President, Bryce Clough.
Here she comes a-walking, talking true love, saying I've been looking for you, love. Surprise, your new love has arrived out of the blue clear sky.
It's a great day at Chick-fil-A. My name is Bryce. How's your day going? The voice on the other end of the line shot back quickly. It said, "A number one, no pickles and a Coke. Thanks." Followed by the classic, "My pleasure." A few hours into my shift, and this conversation had been repeated word for word at least 100 times. As we drew closer to closing up for the night, I worked hard to ensure that we would be headed home at a decent hour. Through sweeping and mopping the lobby and cleaning the infamous play areas and bathrooms, I felt pretty good about getting home to the sweet comfort of my bed soon. With just a few minutes left to spare before closing, a car rolled into the drive-thru. "It's been a great day at Chick-fil-A. My name is Bryce. How's your day been?" The voice responded, kind of confused, "Wait, what?" I said, "It's been a great day at Chick-fil-A. My name is Bryce. How's your day been?" Now, what happened next is something that they did not prepare us for at the top-secret Chick-fil-A military training base. The woman took a few seconds of silence, then burst into tears and shouted her order at me. She said, "A number one, no pickles and a Coke. Thanks." My pleasure? As I avoided the awkward eye contact when she pulled up to the window, I quickly bagged her food and made the awkward walk to the window. Slid it open to reveal the tears streaming down her face. I quickly read her order, took her card, and turned back around. As I was sliding her card, I heard the voice yell from the car. She said, "Hey, I'm really sorry about crying in your drive-thru." All right. She said, it's just you asked me how my day was, and quite honestly, I've had a horrible day. I've had a horrible week. And it's been a really long time since somebody's asked me how I am. It feels really good to cry. Well, okay. As I grabbed her food and her receipt and began to turn around, I saw opportunity staring at me straight in the face. You see, at Chick-fil-A, we're known for two things. One, outstanding chicken, and two, outstanding service. Now, it wasn't chicken, but if there is one thing that my mama taught me can fix the tears on a woman's face, it's ice cream. But you see, when I turned around with a tall cone for this woman, her eyes first lit up, and then again, she burst into tears. I mean, come on, this stuff was supposed to make her stop crying. She gladly accepted the ice cream cone and asked if I wouldn't mind letting her stay in the drive-thru for a little bit longer. So for the next 30 minutes, I left the window open and continued to work. Jackie introduced herself and began to tell me all about her horrible day that she had had at the hospital the long week that was behind her and the long week that was ahead. I continued to listen, I continued to work, and she continued to talk. Well, you see, eventually Jackie dried up her tears, I closed the window, and she drove off on her merry way. Now, I've never seen Jackie since then, but it was on that day that I learned something truly valuable, not only as a Chick-fil-A employee, but also as a leader. There is work to be done. You see, on that day, it could have been easy for me to pack up my things and head home, but Jackie needed somebody to listen. She needed somebody to work. Think of how many strangers that you encounter in a day. How many of those people have one need of you? You see, that right there is evidence that there is work to be done. And when it comes to the work of a leader, we are always on the clock. You see, serving this past year as a national officer has been an absolute dream come true. But it has been an interesting dream come true. I mean, you take a kid from a small, quiet town in Arizona, and then you send him to places that like rain and stuff. Now, in addition to the rain, there have been some very, very challenging and difficult times as well. Whether it was hiking up a mountain with my new friends Will, Bobby, and Colin that was far too difficult for this physique, or maybe drifting across the small village of Shinshiro, Japan with my brand new Japanese brother. Needless to say, I was pretty pumped when they told me that I would be headed to Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. You see, I had these visions of beaches and beauty, and my hopes of a tropical vacation only grew stronger as I picked up my trusty briefcase and boarded my plane bound for St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. Upon stepping outside of the airport at the Virgin Islands, I was greeted by two things. One, the hot, sticky, tropical air. And two, a group of taxi drivers who wanted far too much money for such a short drive to my hotel. So, me being me, some bartering was done, and a decision was made. I picked up my bags and began to make the long walk to my hotel. As I began my walk, I saw a crosswalk come into view. I reached the crosswalk, I stopped, slapped the button. After a few moments of waiting, I began to sweat under the hot Caribbean sun. I waited some more, and then I waited some more. I looked left, and then I looked right, and I noticed that none of the cars were stopping at this light. Well, that's because the light was, in fact, not. It was dark. So I played a quick game of chicken, I picked up my bags, and I darted across the road. Once I reached the other side, I saw something beautiful, the sight of my hotel. I hurried towards the sliding glass door, knowing that on the other side of that, this scalp was getting slapped by some Arctic air. I reached the door, set my bags down, and I waited. And I waited some more. And I continued to wait. Now, after a few moments of waiting, I heard a muffled voice from the other side of the door. It was then that I began to ponder to myself. I thought, you know, I thought they had told me that there was, like, English in this island, but, like, that's not what I'm hearing here, so I don't really know what that's all about. I pondered, and I pondered some more. Then the sliding glass door flung open to reveal a very large and a very angry woman who yelled at me quite simply, "The door is broken. Open it like an old-fashioned one." Okay. So I picked up my bags and I stepped inside. It was then that I found that the hot tropical air was unrelenting. She could read the confusion on my face and explain to me that the island was still without power. Over the next weeks, I would see the result of a previous intense hurricane season. Frequent power outages, mass destruction of buildings across the island, and unemployment for many. While all of these things made a knot in my stomach knowing that there were American citizens who were going through that, it was the experiences I had in just that week that brought it all home. You see, when spending time with the Ivana Eudora Keene FFA chapter, I saw the reality that many on the island were facing. Losing your friends, your family, your home, your school. As if the weeks of terror underneath these storms was not enough, their struggles had continued for long after the clouds had cleared. These people needed service. They needed work. They needed water. They needed a lot of things. But most importantly, these people needed love. Don't get me wrong, love is a helping hand. Love is a warm smile and a sense of brotherhood to be lent. But beyond the small islands in the Caribbean, there are brothers, sisters, neighbors, strangers, and friends who all require love. You see, when we know of somebody who is going through something in which we may never understand, there is love to be done. Because love isn't saying that I get that, but instead, I've got you. What if we created an atmosphere of love so strong that things like anxiety and depression held less of a grip on you and me? What if we loved those who made us wish that the word love never existed? What if we loved more? What if we erased that imaginative criteria in our head that gives somebody a red or a green light for our love? There is love to be done. Why are you not doing the one thing that costs you nothing but could literally save somebody's life? This past year has given me a lot of opportunities to learn. I learned how to eat crawfish and chase skunks in Mississippi. I learned how to drink a whole six-pack of Ale 8 in just one day in Kentucky. I learned how to drive through the snowstorms of Utah and walk on the frozen ground of Michigan. I learned the importance of sunscreen in Wyoming and the strength of friendship in Ohio. While some of these things came naturally, there was obviously some challenges in understanding the diverse people and culture across our organization. Like when I met my friend Emma in LaRue County, Kentucky. Understanding each other meant understanding the power of a smile and a hug. Or when visiting members living on the Duck Valley Indian Reservation between Idaho and Nevada, understanding meant taking a moment to learn about how their culture drove them towards success within our organization. Or with the Byhalia FFA chapter in Mississippi, understanding that the color of my skin does not dictate who I lead or who leads me, but instead dictates an opportunity for us to step beyond misunderstanding. You see, understanding requires us to take a step back and understand that at our core, everyone has one simple need: to feel validated. There is understanding to be done when we hear of another young person lost to the incredible burden of depression. Understanding is knowing that the daily fight to feed America is the one that requires all types and opinions. It's one that requires a protagonist and an antagonist, but neither are completely correct. You see, there is understanding to be done when we see that girl rocking her hijab in official dress. There is understanding to be done when we pass a homeless woman on the streets. You see, there's understanding to be done when the chapter president requests a veggie burger at the barbecue. You see, there is understanding to be done when we pass two men holding hands at a park bench. You see, there is understanding to be done. Understanding. Understanding is not asking you to change your life. It is simply asking you to change your heart. If you truly believe in changing the world, you must first begin by changing yours. Who is someone in your life who could use a little more understanding? Are you allowing yourself to see them for their heart? Or are you making your own misunderstanding distract yours? You know, as long as there are people like me who question, you know, I wonder if all of you would still cheer for me if you knew who I was, who I truly was in here, then there's understanding to be done. Out of all the work left to do in the world, we will never be close to done. But if we begin with love and understanding, the impact that you will create as a leader will be one to far outlast us all. If we stand by idle and wait for somebody else to come and put in the work, that change, it's never going to come about. Will you be the one to step up when you see your fellow FFA members going through the worst times of their lives? Will yours be the helping hand when you see a stranger being knocked down by the world? Will yours be the heart to change when you see that couple? You know, there is work to be done in the good and in the bad. There is work to be done on the days in which we feel like the world owes us something. Are you sitting here today feeling guilty for how you treat others? Are you lacking love and understanding, yet calling yourself a leader? Now, don't get me wrong, some of us are already rolling up our sleeves and being the positive change back home towards love and understanding, but do not think that we are anywhere close to be done. Because the most important work will always be in loving and understanding others. You see, for me, this has been a journey of hard work. It's been a journey that has shaped me into being the person I am through the good days and the bad and all of the work that took place in between. You were the ones who've taught me what it looks like to love somebody unconditionally. You were the ones who showed me what it means to understand somebody beyond what my judgment tells me. You all have allowed me to be me. You all have been the work worthwhile. The world around you needs all of the love and understanding that you can pour into it. We are presented with countless opportunities every single day to build others up through loving and understanding them unconditionally. There is love to be done. There is understanding to be done. FFA members, there is work to be done. So what are you waiting for?